was a joy to see those children. Wow, just to see them all up here together, what a blessing that is, and an encouragement, I know, to me, and I hope to you as well. And it's really good to have you with us here, whether you're visiting with us or you're here on a weekly basis. We appreciate the time that we get to spend with you this morning. And it's always a joy when it gets near Christmas time. And again, following up on the children and that beautiful presentation, we appreciate all the teachers, too, that are working with those young kids. You parents and grandparents, you know what it's about to have ones that small. And it's really a blessing to have teachers that are so dedicated to working with them. And we appreciate you entrusting your children to our Sunday school, and we trust that as they come home, you're encouraged by the things that they're sharing with you, the things they're learning, and we'd love to have your input regarding that as well. So as we get into the Christmas season, some of you might have done what this couple's doing here, gone out to find a Christmas tree. They're actually on a Christmas tree lot searching for that perfect Christmas tree. Most of the people in the United States, I'd say 80% of Americans who use a Christmas tree this year will use an artificial tree. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand whether you're an artificial tree user, a real tree user, a no tree user. We're not doing a test on that or anything today. But it is interesting. Did you know that of the live Christmas trees that are sold and used in the United States of America, that two states are the major producers of those trees? One is Oregon, and the other is, yes, our own North Carolina. In fact, six counties in those two states, back in 2012, the last time they actually had data compiled for this, six counties in Oregon and North Carolina sold 51% of the trees, the live trees, sold in all of the United States, just those six counties. And the number one producing county in all of the United States of America is actually our own Ashe County, right here in North Carolina. That's more information than you ever wanted to know about live Christmas trees, particularly if you use an artificial tree. You don't really want to hear about that. But you can go on the a number of websites, one being the North Carolina State University website, and they will tell you how to start your own Christmas tree farm. So if you have a little extra land and you want to do that, you can go on there. And I want to just read you part of this. Christmas trees, excuse me, determination, I was starting to read from the Rutgers site. I got to jump down to the NC State site for sake of time. Determination of site suitability for the selected species is one of the most important decisions. Site suitability is governed largely by soil characteristics. A grower should inspect the soil conditions on potential sites. Is the topsoil more than 6 inches deep? Is the subsoil a heavy clay or a clay loam? Is there a hard pan? How deep do weeds or existing tree roots grow? Is the soil compacted? And so you see, the soil is very important. I mean, there are other things too. The weather, obviously, the climate, and there are other things involved. But you got to make sure that you have the right soil before you go and start that Christmas tree farm or even grow your own Christmas tree. If you've got about 6 to 12 years and you don't mind waiting that long, you can grow your own in your own yard, possibly. And so with that background in mind, we're going to think this morning about something we're going to call soul soil for the Christmas story. As we think about the soul, we think about who you are as a person, your life, your being. And if you have your Bible with you and you'd like to turn there, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4 primarily this morning. And you notice there that I have several other references. And this parable that we're going to look at this morning that the Lord Jesus himself told, we find it in three different places in the New Testament. They're listed there for you, Matthew 13, Mark 4, where we'll be this morning, and Luke chapter 8. But I'm going to comment from all three of those because they all tell a few different things about the story that the Lord Jesus told, and very likely he told this story more than once. We're going to start out in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus as he's teaching, and he says this, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him here." Soul soil for the Christmas story. We have the background here, and Mark, the writer, tells us that the seed is the word. We read over in the book of Luke, Luke records a little more of that, that it's actually the word of God. The Word of God. And so we got the picture here of a seed being sown. Now, when those Christmas trees are planted, some people actually grow them from a seed or a cone and then transplant them into their Christmas tree farm. That seed is taken and that seed is placed into the soil and with the hopes that it will spring up and one day will be a beautiful Christmas tree that someone will want to purchase and will put in their home and decorate it and do whatever they want to with that Christmas tree. And this morning I want us to think a little bit about the seed of the Christmas story. Now, all of God's Word is the seed. All of God's Word is what is being sown. But this morning, I want to just think about one aspect of that, and it's what we call the Christmas story. You never go into the Bible and find that phrase, the Christmas story. But we know that in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2 particularly, we think of that as the Christmas story. The story of how God became a human being, and he did so not just by stepping in to time as an adult. He could have done that. But rather he came as a baby, and he was born of a virgin and came into this world and began to grow. But it all started, as it were, there in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now we know the Lord Jesus, the one who came, he has always existed. He had no beginning as the Son of God. And yet he became a child, the Christmas story. And so much comes out of that Christmas story because, as we said, the Lord Jesus did not stay a baby, but he grew up into a boy, into a young man, into an adult, and lived the life of perfection. He never sinned. He never sinned. You know, I can look out in this room and I can stand here and put myself in the category too, because I can look and say, we've all sinned, everybody in this room. I don't know what your particular sins are. And I don't know maybe how much you've sinned. Only I know that about myself, but I know that we're all sinners. And I also know that God says if you break one of his commandments, just one, a simple one like children obey your parents. Have I ever disobeyed my parent? And if I have, I'm a sinner. And the Bible says in the book of James, if I've broken one of God's law, I'm guilty of all of God's law. Not that I've broken every one of the laws, but the fact is that one sin against God separates me from God forever. And that's because of the character of God. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is not able to have any sin in his presence. He's not able to do that because of his holiness. And he created us with the desire to have a relationship with us. He created you with the desire to have a relationship with you. And yet, Our sin separates us from God. But the Lord Jesus came as a baby. We rejoice in that. He came as a baby. He was born like we are, yet He was born without sin. And He grew up like we have grown up, in a different part of the world, in a different time in history, but yet He grew up. And He was faced with temptations, but He never sinned. The Son of God in human form, and He lived through His life. He fulfilled the prophecies that we find throughout the Old Testament regarding His first coming. He fulfilled those, and then in fulfillment of those prophecies, He went to the cross and He died for our sins. Oh, that wasn't a mistake. That wasn't a surprise to God. No, God knew that would occur. And God used that to bring about the opportunity for salvation. That as we gather here this morning, that we can come here knowing that in our humanness we're separated from God, but God has made it possible that we can have a relationship with Him. And God says, there's the seed even of the gospel message, we might say, even in the Christmas story, with the Lord Jesus being born. So we find the seed here, the Word of God, here, the Christmas story. And then we have the sower. We have someone who's going out and they're casting, and they didn't plant what they were sowing in the parable of the Lord Jesus the way that we would plant a Christmas tree. Rather, they were throwing out the seed throughout the field, more like we would sow grain or something like that, or wheat. Just throwing it out throughout the field. And we find that anyone who goes out truly with the good seed of the Word of God is one of those sowers. And so, you know what? Each one of us can be a sower of the seed of the Christmas story this year. You can do that. We have a lot of really good pieces of literature, we call them tracts, out there on a rack, and a lot of them are about Christmas. And they tell the true meaning of Christmas. You can take those and you can hand those out, and people are so accepting of those this time of year, maybe more so than any other time of year. We can get out the gospel message, the Christmas story, in many ways, and I'd encourage you to do that. But really, this morning the thought is not so much of us putting out the Christmas story, is us receiving the Christmas story. So this morning, rather than being the sower, we want to think about ourselves as the soil. The soil. You see, that Christmas story is being sown again. The Word of God, including the Christmas story, is being sown into our lives, into our souls, into our very beings. And it's not only this morning that it's being sown, but it's throughout this holiday season. And so what we'd like to do in the time that we have left is to think a little bit about the soil. You see, the seed that's sown doesn't change. It may be presented in a different way. It may be misrepresented. But the seed itself, the true gospel of salvation, that it's a gift, it's not something we earn. It's not how good we are or how much of a leaf we turn over. No, rather it's the fact that we know we're sinners and we realize that the Lord Jesus died for our sins. That in some way that is in the mind of God and we could not fully comprehend it, God took all of our sin and put it on the Lord Jesus. On the one who was born and laid in that manger, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, sinless, qualified to take our place. And He did that. And God said, I will punish My Son for what you would do and what you would be. And then I will raise Him from the dead. And He did that. So the question is, have I received that message and how have I responded? Have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And as a result of that, I've been saved by grace, not of works. Grace is a gift. And that's what salvation is. So the seed doesn't change. The sower can be wise and strategic, but it's not so much the sower. Again, it's the seed. But what really makes the difference in this story that the Lord Jesus told, this illustration, is that productivity is going to be a result of the condition of the soil. Remember what we said? Before you go start your Christmas tree farm, you got to check out the suitability of the soil. Well, the sower in our story this morning didn't do that. He just went out and threw it out. And we're going to see that it landed on four types of soil. So here's my question to you this morning. What type of soil is your soul? As the Christmas story from God's Word is once again sown this season. What kind of soil is your soul? Well, that's a question really that only you can answer. I can ask the question of myself and I can answer it of myself, but you've got to answer it for yourself. And I trust that you'll do that this morning, because we're going to see that as the Lord Jesus tells this story, He gives us four different types of soil. The first one is what He called the wayside. And we're going to see that this soil is representative of a soul, a life that has been hardened by familiarity. Think here about the soil sample that the Lord Jesus gives us. He says that this soil is part of the pathways that are along the field. They would have fields, and along the outside and even through the fields, there would be pathways where people would walk. When you go to a Christmas tree farm, you don't find Christmas trees planted from one side to the other because you couldn't get in there. No, they've got little roads where they can go and take their four-wheelers or their carts down there, their wagons, and they can harvest that tree that you pick out and put it on the back, or maybe harvest them to take them to sell at a lot somewhere locally, or who knows, around the United States of America. But these fields have those pathways that people walk on, and in that day that animals walked on as well as people walked on. And today, of course, we would have heavier even vehicles that possibly would be riding over that. And we find in Luke's account, chapter 8 and verse 5, he says that this pathway was what he called trampled down, packed down tight. And you know what? A seed, when it lands on that soil, it cannot penetrate the soil unless the soil is first loosened. This fall, I tried for the umpteenth time to get grass to grow in my yard. Right now, there's some green grass. I'm sure it's rye and it's going to die and it's going to look terrible like it normally does in the spring and the summer. But you know, my yard, a lot of it was packed down hard. It was like this hard soil. And if I'd have gone and thrown that grass seed on it, like I tried to actually back in the spring, and it didn't penetrate, and therefore it just washed away. In this account, the Lord Jesus says that the birds came in and the birds took that soil away. And so there was no fruit. Well, then we do a little soil analysis and we do an application as the Lord Jesus was doing here. And He explains the parable to us. Go down to verse 13, or listen as I read. And He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" In other words, there's a meaning here. "How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." The Lord Jesus says, here's the illustration. Some people's heart is not open to the word of God going down inside. It sits on top. I would suggest that that can happen to us. The seed of the Christmas story. How many times have you heard the Christmas story? You've heard it probably more times than you think you have. Because not only have you heard it taught and heard it preached, not only have you read it yourself possibly in the Bible, but you have heard it time and again in songs, Christmas carols. We sang two of them this morning. You heard the Christmas story to some degree. And we can hear it so often. And back in October, right? Back in October, you're hearing Christmas carols being played in some of the retail stores. It's wonderful to be exposed to the Christmas story. But some people say, "I know that story inside and out. How can such an old and familiar story impact my life in 2018? You know, there's the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. When we know something very well, it can lead to boredom and even disrespect. J.C. Ryle once wrote, "Familiarity with sacred things has an awful tendency to make men despise them." When we hear something over and over, we can get hardened to it. Like a callus on the hand of the worker in the Christmas tree farm that becomes insensitive to touch. So our hearts, our souls can become the same way because we know the story so well. We've heard it so many times. And as a result, Satan can come in and pluck that seed right off the top of our hearts. That's one of his strategies. And so we do a little soil testing. We turn this inward. Does this describe you? Does this describe me? Have we become unmoved by the story of God coming to earth for us? Has it gotten to be where the real meaning of Christmas rolls off of my soul like water off the back of a duck? The familiarity that draws some people in, they love that feeling, they love that story. It draws them in. It's the same familiarity that causes some people to not even pay attention anymore, to not even recognize the reality of this. Could it be that you or I are neglecting the true reason for the season? In Matthew 13 and verse 19, where the Lord Jesus is telling this story, he says that this person with the hard soil of a heart and a soul is someone who, quote, does not understand, end quote. I would suggest that is not implying any intellectual deficiency, but rather a failure to appreciate the real meaning and the life impact of the Christmas story. Are you immune to the wonder? Have you or I become accidentally resistant to the Christmas story and its life-changing power? Could it be that we're here together this morning celebrating Christmas and yet our hearts have become hardened and it doesn't penetrate any longer? The Lord Jesus started out speaking of the soil of the soul that is the wayside. It's become hardened by familiarity. But then he went on and we read about a stony ground. A stony ground. The stony ground speaks of a shallow soil. It's really what appears to me to be an emotion-only engagement of the Christmas story. So we see that soil sample. The Lord Jesus says there was some of the seed that fell onto the soil. And there were stones underneath. There were rocks underneath. It was not deeply plowed. And as a result of that, the seed, when it hits this shallow soil and all the nutrients are invested not in roots going down, but in the plant coming up, and the plant springs up quickly. But then when the sun begins to beat down and the moisture begins to be taken out of the topsoil, you see, this plant withers and dies because it doesn't have any root. Well, how do we apply that? Well, the Lord Jesus says, if you want to follow along, beginning in verse 16, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." You know, the Christmas story is sown, and there are some who immediately embrace and receive that message with gladness. They're the very opposite of the wayside with the hardened hearts. They have a very soft heart. They love to hear the Christmas story. It may be you. You may get excited when you hear the carols, when you hear the narration, when you see it played out in a Christmas program like we'll have next Sunday night, or you hear the children ringing the bells and singing about Christmas. You may enjoy it and your heart is touched by the thoughts that are on a Christmas card. And those things are wonderful. Those things are beautiful. And I want to encourage that emotional response. But the problem is when it's only an emotional response. And that seems to be the situation with the people that the Lord Jesus spoke about here. There was no depth. There was no root. And you know, as long as there are no challenges, then truly it's a wonderful life. But when opponents of Christmas, for instance, begin to push back, the embrace on the story can be loosened and discouragement can quickly replace excitement. And what was so much of a joyful, happy experience becomes a discouraging, sad, disappointing experience. Well, as we test the soil, we ask again the question, does this describe you? Are you someone that gets warm fuzzies when you hear the carols played again, but quickly lose your joy if a commentator goes off on a rant against the narrow-minded people who celebrate this holiday to the exclusion of others? Do you lose all your joy because there's no root there? It's not gone down beyond the emotion. Our society presents extremes of viewpoint, and you can't always control which viewpoint is in your face or in your ear. Sometimes you can, but not always. Is your Christmas joy only an emotional response without a solid basis in the depths of God's Word? Have you slipped into a feeling-filled Christmas? That's really all it is, and there's nothing beyond, nothing below, nothing underneath the shallow soil of the emotion. The emotion is a part of it. It's a wonderful part. And if you're able to experience that, I encourage you to do so. But if that's all it is, the Lord Jesus said there's a problem. Because when things get hard, that type of response will not hold up. Thirdly, we see that there's a thorny ground. And I'm going to suggest that what we see from the Lord Jesus is that this thorny ground speaks of a soul soil that is overcrowded by materialism and pleasure. We've already read about this soil sample. Some of the seed fell on soil where there were thorns. And the way that it's written, it appears that there probably weren't thorns above the ground when they threw the seed out. It wasn't like he threw it right into the thorns. Rather, they were underneath the ground. They hadn't yet come out. Maybe they had cleared the ground, cleared the thorns from off the top, and so he throws it into the soil, but when it begins to grow, the thorns grow up with it. And as they grow up with it, like our weeds, they tend to overtake the proposed crop, and they choked the plants. They took up soil space and nutrients and moisture. Well, the Lord Jesus makes an application, and we see it in verse 18 and verse 19. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You see, the cares of this world are the anxieties that we have because we live in this society. There are various anxieties depending on where you live in the world and even where you live in our nation. But they come along with living here. Then there are what the Lord Jesus calls the deceitfulness of riches, which we might just kind of put under that idea of materialism. And then there's the desire for other things. I didn't really get what I wanted for Christmas. Or I got something and I saw what a friend had and it made me want that too. And then we also find that desire for other things is here in Mark's account. But in Luke's account, he also includes the pleasures of life. The pleasures of life, focusing on pleasures, really a hedonistic attitude, the pursuit of pleasure as the most important thing in life. Do any of these characterize you? Do you find as you come to Christmas and you hear the story and maybe you even seek to consciously embrace that, but you find that all of the pressures of Christmas cause you to say, I can't wait till this is over. All the hurry and the rushing and the pressure to buy the right gift to make that person happy. Or maybe you're overcome with all of the things that you see as you search on Amazon or you go into the mall or the shopping center and you see all of these things and you're overwhelmed and it begins to fill your mind and it chokes out the real meaning of Christmas. Maybe that desire for other things, that disappointment, that item that you thought was really going to be just what you wanted and you got it, but then it left you unsatisfied. It caused you to want something else. Or maybe you're just looking at this period of time in your life as an opportunity to have a few extra days off work and to be with family and to just have a good time and to kick back and to watch some Christmas movies and listen to some music and eat more than normal. And that is the focus, and that has crowded out. You see, none of these things in themselves are bad, receiving a gift and giving a gift and searching for a gift and eating a Christmas pie or whatever you have. In themselves, those things are not wrong. But if they begin to choke out the real meaning of Christmas, they are a problem. And it's because our hearts, our soils, have that thorn and those things down underneath. Maybe they're not seen until the seed tries to grow. So we ask this question, is the busyness and the shopping and the focus on gifts and having a jolly old time and more, are these things crowding out the real heart of the Christmas story from your heart? Well, let's go now as we hurry toward the end. There's one other type of ground, and the Lord Jesus described it as good ground. It's fertile soil due to proper preparation. So we see the soil sample that the Lord Jesus gives us here. He says it's fertile ground, it's prepared soil, and as a result of the seed landing there, there was anywhere from a 30 to 100% yield on that investment. We find from our different passages, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that this soil receives and understands and appreciates and embraces this message. And for us this morning, the Christmas story. And the result is spiritual fruit in the heart of the receiver and also in the ones whose lives are impacted. We might ask again the question, does this describe you? Well, what if you say no? What if you say, well, yeah, I see some good soil, but I got to admit, I'm a little hardened to this story. Or maybe I get warm fuzzies, but that's about as far as it goes. Or maybe you're saying, hey, I can sense the thorns choking it out in me. It's choking it out. What are the keys to good soil? We don't have a few minutes. We're going to quickly look at them. First of all, I'm going to suggest this. Confess to God. Confess to God, God, I have sinned and I need your forgiveness. Now, if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you may know all about the Christmas story, but until you receive the Lord Jesus Himself, who died for your sins and rose again, until you have trusted Him to be your Savior and you have believed on Him and received Him, then you're not truly a child of God. You're not forgiven of your sins. But once you have believed on the Lord Jesus, then He forgives you, and now you're in relationship with your Heavenly Father, and you're coming to Him for a relational forgiveness, not to be saved again. Confess to God you've sinned and need His forgiveness. Confess to God, I am weak and I need your intervention. Very quickly, let me mention something that will apply to each one of these soil types. First of all, submit to the plow. The hardened soil needs to be plowed up. One blogger said it this way: turning the soil over allows it to mellow and absorb moisture. Turning the soil will get rid of bugs and weeds. It allows old corn stalks and old growth to become one with the soil. Turning the soil basically allows what was once a prepared garden to go from a hard patch of dirt back to a prepared patch of garden. This turning of the soil is so important in maintaining a productive plot of land. Why? It keeps the soil from becoming hard. Hosea said in the Old Testament, "Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." You see, the Holy Spirit of God will take the plow of God's Word and the circumstances of your life, and He will plow up your soul and my soul if we will yield and submit to the plow. Now, I can resist and it will actually make me harder. Or I can submit. God, take your word by your Spirit. Expose to me the hardness. Change me. And then next, remove the stony hindrances. What are those things that are keeping you viewing the Christmas story through emotional lens only? I read about a lady who lived on the coast of Norway, and she said every spring after the snows melted, the farmers went back out and they started taking stones out of their field. And she said, why didn't they get those out last year? She found out that because of the way that the earth shifts and moves, that stones are all the time being brought up to the top. And it's the same thing in our lives. We think we've got them all out. They come back again. Our flesh, our laziness. In order to persevere, our roots must be deep in the Word of God, or we got to get those hindrances out of the way. And then we need to uproot choking thorns. And I apologize for, I'm just going to pop these up here real quickly because we need to get you moved on. But I want to encourage you to uproot anxieties through grateful prayer. And I've got scripture for these that I won't be able to get to. Maybe I'll mention some of them next week. Uproot materialism through properly evaluating what things really matter. Uproot discontentment through learning God's presence. Uproot hedonism through a heavenly focus. And I think I'm going to bring some of these back out next week. I hope you can be with us because they're important. But we'll just close with this. Are you willing to take a step of faith this morning, right now, in order to allow the Christmas story to be fruitful in your life? And as we have just a verse of one song played as we close this morning, I want to really ask you, I'm 2 minutes over and I apologize, but I want to ask you to take the next 30 seconds and I want you to respond to that bottom question. I want you to leave here with something in mind that's going to be different than when you came in. And you can think about that. I'm going to pray, and then he's going to play just a verse. And just think about that. And we'd love to talk with you more. God loves you. God wants your heart to be soft way more than you do. He wants a relationship with you, and He wants the Christmas story to impact you like it never has before in a fresh way. But unless the soil of our souls is right, it won't do that. Father, thank you for our time and your word this morning. We've been blessed. I know I've been blessed, Father, to hear the children and to sing together and to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries and to pray to you and to dig into your word, Father. Father, dig into our hearts. Dig into our souls. Father, expose the stones that are there. Father, expose the things that are getting in the way. Father, help us to see the thorns. Help us to be willing to allow you to work in our hearts that we might rid ourselves of these things that keep us from hearing your voice. Father, you love us so much. You sent your Son. Father, I pray for everyone in this room this morning. Father, please, you know the condition of every heart. And Father, we beg you to continue to pursue us. We need you. We need this story. We need the truth. We need changed lives. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.